You are now entering the realm of CITR Public Affairs.
Good morning, I'm Todd Maffin. Today we'll be talking with Brad Philly, who is the spokesperson for Expo 86. Good morning, Brad.
Hi, Todd. Good to be here.
First of all, we'll just start out with the main basics. Approximately when will Expo take place?
Well, it runs for 165 days from May 2nd to October 13th, 1986.
Mm-hmm. Would you please tell us, I've heard that there are two places that Expo will be taking place in the Greater Vancouver area.
Yes, we're actually in World's Fair history, which goes all the way back to 1851, the first World Exposition to be held on two separate sites. So the main site is on the North Shore of False Creek, mm-hmm. pretty well between the Granville Street Bridge and Main Street. And then the Canadian presence at Expo 86 is on the old Pier BC complex, which is now called Canada Place, and that will be the site of the Canadian Pavilion for Expo.
I've also heard that that Canada Place will be the Trade and Convention Center.
Canada Place's first function is as the Canadian Pavilion for Expo. When the fair is over, it's been designed so that it can be converted to a Trade and Convention Center with minimum costs involved. But in time for Expo 86, that whole pier complex will also be a cruise ship facility, house a 500-room hotel being built by Japanese interests,
wow.
which is their first entry into the North American market, and also a World Trade Center. So it's a really comprehensive development.
Will it also house the kind of control center for Expo, or is that in another place?
Well, we have lots of control centers for Expo, but certainly that'll be the nerve center for the Canadian participation at the fair.
I hate to get into labor disputes, but on January 12th of this year, the Vancouver Sun reported that BC's labor relations system will, quote, self-destruct if its problems aren't corrected soon. And that was, of course, talking about the disruptions at False Creek. Now that the settlement was reached, do you think that you can patch up the damage caused by the disruption, or has enough been done?
Well, just a few weeks ago, the provincial government of BC, whose project is Expo 86, it's a provincial government project, mm-hmm. they declared the Expo 86 site on False Creek an economic development zone, which prohibits union workers from walking off the site due to the presence of non-union workers. So since then, we have had no labor disruptions on site, which we're very pleased about, and we're basically on schedule for opening day, May 2nd.
Do you have any overtime that you'd have to put in to make up to compensate for the loss?
Well, we've set a very ambitious construction schedule to have all the buildings ready by November 85, but that can be achieved just with normal working hours and days.
Right. While we're on the topic of buildings, each country will have its own pavilion, am I correct?
That's right. Under the regulations of a specialized world exposition like Expo 86, every international participant must lease a pavilion module, which we have designed from us, and they mm-hmm. decorate the interior and exterior to fit their own exhibits and displays. But Canadian provinces and territories and major corporations can build their own temporary structures. So you're going to have a very architecturally diverse site.
So in fact, the Expo 86 Council is in charge of building the things to suit their needs, or is it the different countries who are...
Well, we build the modules to the square footage that each participant desires, and we charge them on a lease basis for it.
Mm-hmm.
But the Expo 86 Corporation, which is a crown corporation of the province, is charged with the planning and operation of the World Exposition.
When did the committee at Expo hear that Vancouver was picked to hold the World Exposition?
Well, the whole thing came about in 1979 when the provincial government was looking for a way to celebrate the 100th birthday of Vancouver
right.
as a city, and also the centennial of the first train to reach the west coast of Canada.
Canadian Pacific.
That's
I
right.
I have written down here, yeah.
You bet. And a lot of ideas were bantered back and forth, and it was decided to make an application to the International Bureau of Expositions in Paris to host a World's Fair. So we made that application, they came out and inspected us, and in, I believe it was 1980-81, we were awarded the World's Fair, which means no other expo can take place during that year.
You're relating people to they. Who is it? Who chooses the host cities?
Well, the International Bureau of Expositions is a 46-nation body, which resides in Paris, and the major nations of the world belong to it, and they examine proposals from different nations for World's Fairs, and Vancouver had the best one for that time period.
Do you know other cities that were vouching for it?
Well, for 1986, Toronto had made an initial bid, and we also beat out a Japanese city for that. So in return for getting 86, the Japanese government bid for 1985. So they are going to have just a fantastic World Exposition in 1985 in Tsukuba, Japan, which is their science research city.
And the theme to Expo is transportations and communication. We'll get to the transportation part later, but can you tell us what's happening in the communications department?
Well, we really found at the outset that transportation was a really popular theme. But as we talked to all the participants, we realized that we couldn't separate communications from it because communications, in essence, is the transportation of ideas. Mm-hmm. So we had to combine the two themes together. And each participant will showcase the progress they've made in that area and in transportation during Expo.
When I was a member of the marching drill team for the Grey Cup halftime show that was advertising Expo 86, it was more or less a kind of a special event that would advertise it more or less. Do you have any other things planned for it?
Well, yes. During our 165-day run, we have a whole series of specialized periods because we found that a lot of the hardware, the technical stuff we wanted to have on site was only available for a short period at a time because it has to be out in the field making money for its owners. So we will have things like an underwater vehicles week, a search and rescue week, an aviation week, a tall ship week, of course, when the tall ships will assemble off the coast of Hawaii and have a sail race to Victoria.
Wow.
And then the following day, sail in under the Lionsgate Bridge at dusk with the largest fireworks display ever seen in Canada. Those are some of the things we're working on right
That's
now.
That's fabulous. What about the things that are happening before the exposition takes place?
Well, that whole year is the centennial celebration. So the city has set up the Vancouver Centennial Commission to coordinate all sorts of special promotions and special events throughout 1986.
At this moment, how many countries are signed up and have a pavilion at the site planned?
Well, as soon as a country signs up, it's automatic that they have a pavilion. We have 33 nations, including for the first time in history at a World's Fair, the big three superpowers, the USSR, the People's Republic of China, and the USA. We anticipate to have 40 to 45 nations by the end of this year when we want to close off signing up and get on with the building and designing of the fair.
Now, I've seen some pictures. Expo Ernie is your robot mascot.
Yes.
Can you tell us some information about, I know there's different forms. There's a helium-shaped one that we saw at the Grey Cup. There's a real one, and is that run by a person inside, or where did you get the idea?
Well, the Expo Ernie, he's the official mascot and goodwill ambassador of the 1986 World Exposition, was designed by one of our creative people. And really, you're going to see him on all souvenir items and at major parades and just different promotions. We have a helium balloon, a version of him, which is anchored by six or seven people
right.
who take him down and put parade routes. But I think the more popular version of him is the walking, talking robot we have. And we're just keeping it a secret how he's operated until opening day.
My guest is Brad Philly. He's one of the many gears in the mechanics of the Expo 86 machine. We'll return with some discussion about some of the events planned right after this.
Who is Patrick Mokrain? The night after?
I've just got to let you know.
Night after what?
Connaissez-vous souvenir? Le bastion de l'ordure.
Where had the dwarf now gone? And the gateway? And the spider and all the whispering? Had I been dreaming? Had I awoken? All at once I was standing alone in the most desolate moonlight. The night after came, as every Friday night. It was safe.
Boom, ba, boom, boom, C-I-T-R is the news that's for your heart. If you want good music on your radio, turn to C-I-T-R. C-I-T-R.
102 FM. The World Exposition in 1986 is the topic today. My guest is Brad Philly from the Expo headquarters. Now, the theme to it, as we discussed before, is transportation and communications. How did you come to the decision to make that your theme?
Well, it was a very natural one, since we're celebrating the centennial of the city and the fact that Vancouver is the transportation hub of Western Canada. So transportation certainly has played a role in the city's life, and also with the anniversary of the transcontinental train reaching the West Coast, this was a logical choice for us. And it's I think the interesting part of the theme is that it's easy to showcase. Everyone's a railway nut or a car buff, and if we can get the exhibits and displays on site we want, people will be able to hop in cars and try them out, ride the monorail system. Yeah, hands-on experiences, that's what we're interested in.
Now, some of the things that's going to be doing with the transportation theme, a British Harrier jump jet, I believe, is coming?
I guess it's a possibility, but anything to do with the military really won't have a presence on the exposition site, but perhaps, you know, that would be showcased out at the Abbotsford Air Show, which will be a very much larger show in 1986 because it's their 25th anniversary, and we're working with their officials to put on a real, real great show that year.
I heard that British Airways will be sending over their Concorde to make shuttle runs of from people, Europeans, coming over here.
That's right, and I understand that Vancouverites, I guess those who can afford it, would be able to take a trip to nowhere. It would take off from Vancouver and fly around for about an hour and then land back in Vancouver.
Now, if you're wondering how to get to the expo site, this is a little early information, but people can get around by way of cars, buses, trucks, tractors, and little odd ways, including hydrofoils, hovercrafts, and, of course, the ALRT. Now, one way that you can't get to it without special permission, the big finale, the Space Shuttle. Now, how did you get the Americans to agree to send their pride and joy down here?
Well, we're still negotiating for it, so it's not finalized by any means yet, but we're sure that that would be one of the hits of Expo 86. There might be some newer things on stream by 86 too, so we'll just have to wait and see.
When do you expect to hear back from the Americans?
I think things will be finalized sometime in 85 on that.
Is that's kind of the main date where things will be kind of put in order?
Well, yes, we hope to have all our participants signed up by the end of 85, and then we work with them on their exhibits and displays to see what they're going to bring up here.
Mm-hmm. I understand that some corporations are taking part in sponsoring parts of the fair, including the first corporation to sponsor Canadian Pacific. Can you reel off a few and tell us what they're doing for the fair?
Sure. When a corporation signs up for Expo 86, they can do one or two or three of three things. They can have a major pavilion presence on site, or they can be a corporate supplier supplying services to the corporation, or an official sponsor. And any route they choose means a very heavy investment by them in Expo 86. So we have a firm like Canadian Pacific spending over $10 million on their pavilion presence at Expo 86. We have CP Air as an official air carrier, and they've already painted four of their jets in Expo colors with the signage.
Nice.
Yeah, and they're good. They go all over the world, so that's instant advertising for us. And they'll also be showing an Expo 86 video as their in-flight video beginning next summer. We have the Royal Bank of Canada, who's sponsoring our off-site entertainment program. Rothmans of Canada, which will take their vintage car collection across Canada, and in doing so, stopping off at different places and generating interest in Expo, and then they'll wind up at the site. We have Pacific Western Airlines as a regional air carrier, who will be bringing in 2,500 students, I believe, as on a student exchange program.
Oh.
Students from along their route system from high school will come into Vancouver, see the fair, then write papers on it.
Wow, that's great. Now, about 3 months ago, 3 or 4 months ago, the main thing in the news concerning Expo was, of course, the labor problems. Right now, the things that I'm picking up from them are the cyclorama and what's going to happen to it. I don't think it's called the cyclorama. What's the name of that? The big movie screen? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's called the Expo Center, and the type of the film that will play in it is called Omnimax.
Mm-hmm.
That'll be about a 500-seat theater, which will showcase a film called A Freedom to Move, which we're shooting all over the world right now. And that is going to be a fantastic film. And the Omnimax film technique is basically a huge film projected on the interior of the globe, and it almost totally surrounds you, and you become involved in the film itself because it's just so large screen.
There's one also in Ontario Place, isn't there?
I believe that's an IMAX film. I'm not too sure.
What's the difference?
Well, an IMAX film is on a screen in front of you, whereas the OmniMax is much larger and on the interior of a curved surface of the globe that you are sitting in. But the IMAX film that will be at Canada Place will be the world's first 3D IMAX film.
3D.
So if you take IMAX, which is scary enough in many cases, and add 3D to it, I think.
Would you have to wear those polarized glasses or?
I don't know how they're going to do it. It's going to be interesting.
That sounds kind of.
Mm-hmm. That's Canadian Nationals, part of their contribution to Expo.
Right. So do you have any idea what's going to happen to the OmniMax theater once Expo shuts down?
Well, the OmniMax Theater is part of this whole Expo Center, which opens May 2nd, 85, and after the fair, it's turned over to the city because it sits on city lands. So they're looking at various uses for it now. So that's a real permanent legacy that's going to be given to Vancouver as a result of Expo.
Now, I've seen news reel clippings of a giant scale version of the Expo site. With three-dimensional buildings.
Yes.
Have you gone over there and counted each building so you can come back here and tell us how many buildings are going to be there?
Well, I can tell you there's over 100 buildings on the site, but there's also little people figures on it, and there's over 20,000 of these little people figures. We have
That's
a 100-foot
amazing.
Model, and they all had to be glued into place. Not by me, thank God.
I bet. Well, I went to Expo 67 in Montreal, or Montréal, for those people who are French. And when I was there, I noticed that I went to the Expo site, and the exhibits, some of them were locked up and boarded up, and some of them had been torn down, and not really. And it was kind of looking old and dilapidated. Is that what's going to be the future of Expo 86?
No, this is what we regard as the real beauty of Expo 86. We sit on land owned by BC Place, which is another government corporation. And once the fair is over, there'll be three legacy areas which remain: the Expo Center, that big geodesic dome you see rising on the east shore of False Creek, the BC Pavilion Complex, and the old CPR Roundhouse. All the rest of the infrastructure, all the buildings, are dismantled and sold off. And these modular buildings we've designed will be sold off to BC communities for things like city halls and ice rinks and tourist information centers. And the land is returned to BC Place, its owner, and they have the 15-year program to build housing for thousands of people on that land, to extend the Stanley Park seawall right up to Main Street, parks, marinas, office space, the whole kit and caboodle.
The topic today on Public Affairs is Expo 86. My guest is Brad Philly. He's the spokesperson or public relations person for Expo. We'll be right back talking about costs, considerations, and comparisons.
The following is a public service announcement.
This is radio station CITR broadcasting
from somewhere in the Mediterranean.
No, 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 you've got it all wrong. From somewhere at UBC, we are
the Voice of Peace on 1540 kilohertz.
We're not the Voice of Peace, we're the Voice of Free Point Grey, CITR. And we're not 1540 AM, we're 102.
On FM stereo.
We aren't yet stereo, but we are CITR FM 102.
That's right, 100 on your FM dial.
That's cable 100 FM 102. CITR
is broadcasting on shortwave on 6,240 kilohertz in the 48 meter band.
Oh, shut up.
Hello, I'm Doug Llewellyn, and now let's go to Judge Wappler for his decision.
I've gone over all the evidence, and I'm gonna rule in favor of the plaintiff. The defendant. Hung jury, recess, course case adjourned. Help me out, bailiff.
Hello, I'm Doug Llewellyn again, and with me is the plaintiff. Sir, what do you think of Judge Wappler's decision?
The man's a chronic alcoholic and totally unreliable. No wonder he's got a TV show. I should have avoided this whole mess and gone to the Law Students Legal Advice Program. They would have provided me with free legal assistance. If I were a UBC area resident, I could have gone to Kitsilano Neighborhood House, or better still, called them at 736-3588. I'm such an idiot.
Yes, you certainly are, sir. Hello, I'm Doug Llewellyn again, and that concludes the case of the reverse gender fender bender here on the People's Court.
John Doe, and while I'm in Canada, drinking some high test, I always listen to CITR, FM 102, Cable 100, and I suggest you do the same if you know it's good for you.
My guest is Brad Philly. He's the spokesperson for Expo 86. Now, something that lots of people are sure to wonder about, how much will it cost? Have you laid down any rough estimates for tickets to the fair?
Well, as far as admission prices to Expo 86 go, those will be available in mid-1985, and that's when our marketing program to attract visitors to Expo will really gear up, although we're doing a lot right now. But in terms of the budget for the fair, we operate on a very, very strict budget of $806 million. The participants will spend another about $400 million. And based on our attendance figure of 15 million visits to the fair, we're in a break-even situation. And I'm sure many of your listeners are aware of Mr. Jim Pattison, who's the chairman of Expo 86, and he runs a very tight, fiscally responsible corporation with Expo.
Now, the Expo that's running right now in Knoxville has literally gone down the drain. Funding was never really there, and it loses money apparently every day. But the predictions for this Expo is that it'll create about $1 million in economic activity and create hundreds of jobs, if not thousands of jobs. Now, what do we have that Expo 84 in Knoxville doesn't?
Okay. The major differences are that in Canada, the government levels take the lead in terms of financing and leadership for World's Fair, whereas down in the States, it's basically private entrepreneurs putting a lot on the line and often coming up short. New Orleans started their marketing program only a few months before opening day, which would just turn out to be suicide for them, and also didn't market the fair concept outside of the southwest region of the United States.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas here already, we are sending out 600,000 pieces of information a month on Expo.
Wow.
And
how do I get on the mailing list? How would a person get on the mailing list if they wanted to?
Well, it's fairly easy. We have a publication called the Expo 86 Communique, which comes out quarterly, and you just write us at our post office box address, which is P.O. Box 1986, Station A, Vancouver, V6C2X5, and we'll be glad to send you the information as it becomes available.
Can they call you if they don't really want to take the time to mail?
Yes, we have an information line set up at 660-EXPO, and you can talk to our information clerks.
Is that a recorded message or live person?
Live person. I believe it operates from 8 a.m. to 6 p.m. Pacific time, but we'll be expanding that as we grow closer to opening day.
Now, I've seen some ads on television regarding Expo 86 talking about mainly the theme Man in Motion.
Mm-hmm.
With great effects, I must say.
Yes.
Will you be putting any more ads in the papers, on radio, on TV, or will you just be sticking on the TV?
Well, to attract visitors to Expo, we will have just a wide range of marketing, ranging from TV ads to radio spots to printed ads in newspapers and magazines, everything we can do to get people here to spend their money. I might mention, though, that the theme of Expo has changed from Man in Motion, because we had a few little problems.
Yes.
With that being a bit,
yes,
sexist,
I imagine.
To World in Motion, World in Touch, which I think conveys a sense of communications and transportation better than the original.
Mm-hmm. How will you be getting people interested in Expo in other European countries?
Well, we
or Asian, for that
matter. Sure, we cooperate closely with Tourism BC, Tourism Canada, and the External Affairs Department. So all our Canadian posts abroad have our information and videotapes, promotional videotapes on Expo 86. We are concentrating on the travel trade right now, hitting all the major travel trade shows to make tour operators and wholesalers and travel agents aware of us. And judging from some of the hotel bookings we've heard about, it'll be very, very popular.
Now, what would happen if someone, let's say I have free time for the rest of my life and I want to commit myself during some portion of that time to volunteer to help Expo 86, how would I go about doing that?
We sure want you on board with us. We have a volunteers program with a complete staff, and they are doing everything for us, from stuffing envelopes to answering phone calls. We have a real wide range of activities and a real major program planned for that. On another level, we made an agreement with the Toastmasters, the professional speaking group in BC, to be our official spokesman for many events taking place throughout the province. So if a Rotary Club in Prince George wants to talk on Expo 86 and we can't make it up there, we call the local rep in Prince George, and he's fully trained to give an excellent talk on Expo 86.
Now, the station is broadcasting mainly to a UBC area. Can you tell us what effect Expo has had on the UBC students?
Well, for starters, we just had an announcement the other week whereby UBC and Expo 86 agreed to build housing for about 780 students.
Where would that be located?
It's in the Acadia end of campus, sort of in the eastern edge of campus. I think it's right near Fraternity Row. And Expo 86 is guaranteed the rent for a full year for that development, and we'll house some of our international staff. The people who come over from France and Italy and all the rest of the countries will stay there and be shuttled into the site. And then once the fair is over, it'll be turned over to student housing. So what this agreement has meant is that this housing has come on at a very accelerated schedule. So there'll be housing for UBC students in 1987, and that's a few years ahead of the original schedule.
My guest has been Brad Philly. He's from the Expo 86 headquarters. If you'd like to get involved, I have a partial address in front of me, Expo 86, care of Box 1986, Vancouver, BC, and the postal code
is V6C2X5, and if you just add in Station A after Box 1986, that'll get to the right people. If you can just dash on the envelope, volunteer programs, if that's what you're interested in, it'll get to the right people.
Or you can call 660-EXPO, E-X-P-O. I'd like to thank Brad Philly for joining me here on CITR FM 102 for the Public Affairs Show. I'm Todd Maffin, and now we'll get back to what you were originally listening to.